Very bekitzer on the parsha. I really don't want to spend too much time. There's just an important lesson, I think, that we often overlook about Yaakov. Yaakov is always viewed as the pillar of Torah. He is. He represents Torah, and Yaakov represents honesty, which he does. There's one more element of Yaakov's life that we find in this week's parsha. After Yaakov finally finishes with Esav and Sarah Shel Esav and Lavan and everything, he comes to Shechem. And the pasuk tells us, Vayichan Peneo Ir. So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that he came up with these initiatives. He created the currency, he created shvakim, he created streets and markets, and he created Beis HaMerchas, he created bathhouses. So the obvious question is, why did he do that? Now, he wasn't planning on living in Shechem. Now, it's like you go to a hotel and you improve the room, like why? You're leaving tomorrow. Why would you invest so much time and effort? So the answer is that Yaakov Avinu teaches us an important lesson in life, that sometimes if you have what to offer a community, you should give it. If you have what to offer in better society, you should give it. Yaakov Avinu said to himself, listen, I have this great idea called coins and you know all these ideas. Let me share it with the people, even though it's not necessarily going to be from my community because I'm moving on, I'm going back to my homeland. But if a person has a talent, a skill, and ability, they should share it with others and give back. And that's really, if you look in the pasuk right before, it says that Yaakov is shalem. And Rashi says he's complete in his money, complete in his tari, complete in his health. I think there's one more point. If you want to be complete in life, you have to give back to others. Part of being a complete person is not a complete person just for yourself. It's to give back. That's the essence of what a Jew is supposed to be, is to give back to others, give back to your community, give back to your moistis and the people around you. I quoted it on Shabbos in my shul. I quoted the famous inauguration of January 20th, 1961. JFK's famous inaugurational line, it's not what your country can do for you, it's what you can do for your country. We live in a world of entitlement, right? Everyone wants to give me. Right? In Judaism, it's the exact opposite. In Judaism, we ask what we can do, not what we can get out of it. Right? It's supposed to be, what can I do for my local organization? It's not the opposite. What's the organization going to do for me? You know, what's the shul going to do for me? No, it's what you can do for your shul. So it's an important lesson for Yaakov. He teaches us to give back. You know, even though we think of Yaakov as more of that, you know, Ishtam Yeshev Olim, but he really was a very big activist, because the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos that a person who's mezakeh serabim chait ein chait bol yodei, chait won't come your way. It's an amazing avtocha. The person's involved in the tzibur, he's active, he's giving back, he's working, trying to find ways to improve. In that way, you're protected from chait. So it's a win-win situation. You're helping the community and you're protected min hachait, like the Mishnah in Avos. Mishnah Shem, next Sunday we'll have our Chanukah share. I know it's early because the way Hanukkah works out, I figured you'd probably rather hear about Hanukkah before Hanukkah than on the 8th day of Hanukkah. It's a little bit depressing to hear about Hanukkah when it's over. So Mr. Shem, next Sunday we're going to have this shir on Inyani Hanukkah. If you want to get a head start, this is probably the earliest I've ever decided what I'm going to say shir on. It's a unique chiddush. So we're going to do a shtickle gemara. One of the first gemaras in the sugyas of Shabbos, where the gemara talks about mahadrin min mahadrin. We're going to tackle what exactly is mahadrin, what's mahadrin min mahadrin, what's this all about? This uniqueness that you have by Hanukkah, where you have a concept of mahadrin and mahadrin min mahadrin, and on top of that, so there's a shtickle gemara over there. If you want to take a look, the gemara goes through it a little bit with there's an interesting taisus over there. I don't want to give away all the marmikayim, but that's if you want to get a head start. That's where we're going to be discussing Mr. Shem next week. That will be our annual Hanukkah-related topic. Okay, let's get back into the sugya over here. So I had a whole week to try to figure out this with Baruch Be. Okay, I can't say I figured all of it out, but I got a little bit more clarity on what I think is going on over here. And I felt bad at the end of the show yesterday. I didn't mean to give off the impression that Rabbi Baruch Be'er is not clear and you know, it's his fault. It's our fault that we don't understand what he's talking about. Not to chas v'shalom belittle his godless HaTorah because of our lacking of understanding. So I didn't want to give off the impression that the flaw was in Rabbi Baruch Be'er, the flaw is in us, that we just don't comprehend. Even if he did write it not well, it's still our fault that we don't understand what's going on over here. So let's just quickly recap the Gemara and then we got to move on. So again, the Gemara is trying to figure out how can a zar eat truma and be chayiv, have a discussion of Kimlei B'Ramnish. The Gemara says, Hachav ma'askin on kain she'tochav l'chaveil teich piv. His friend stuck it into his mouth, he never picked it up. So what? So this is a very important Rashi. Rashi said, so what type of chiv are you going to have now? So Rashi says, number two, very quickly, you didn't pick it up, you were never kain it. So Rashi says, you're not a ganav, you're not even a mazik. So why are you paying for the truma? The answer is because you were nene from the truma. So Rashi, because you were nene from the truma, why aren't you a mazik? Okay, maybe nene and mazik are similar. We'll come back to that hopefully later today. Okay, keep that in mind. That's a fair point. I mean, the point of Rashi is that you're never definitely not a, you're not a ganif. Okay, so maybe you're a mazik, which we'll get to, b'li neder. So therefore, says Rashi, you're chayiv koza the hanah, And when does the chiyuv hanah start? That's when it goes down your throat, when you satiate it, when it goes down. And at the same time, when the chiyuv misa comes, so you have kim levi d'rami. So we left off last...
The swallowing part.
The swallowing. The chewing. Not the chewing. The Gemara is going to ask in a second about chewing.
The chewing would be a hezek, but the swallowing would be a hezek.
Right. The swallowing would just
be... remains in the same condition.
Correct. Right. Right. Which we'll have to go back to.
Right.
Right. We're going to talk about it. Right. We're going to come back to that. Bli neder. So we mentioned, we started to talk about a kasha from Rabbi Baruch Ber. There are Baruch Ber asked of Chaim a kasha, which again is very vague to us and unclear. So let's just take a look one more time, number three. Shoyle morgen mehagrach eich shayach eptor shakim le dramene lechiv nene. How is it shayach to have kim le dramene on nene? Why? Da rechiv nene loy dome lechiv mazik. Because the chiv nene is fundamentally different than mazik. Why? The chiv mazik have itashlumen abur hadove shehezikoi, vein achiv leshalom etzim hadove lachiv have itashlumen abur hezik. What it sounds like from Rabbi Baruch Ber and other places also, that Rabbi Baruch Ber seemed to understand that the idea of kinleiv d'ramine is when you have a punishment that is handed down from the Torah, and you have another punishment that is handed down by the Torah. So the way it works is you only get one, not both. The question is, what happens if the punishment is not really a punishment? It's something more like a practicality. What do I mean by that? Let's say, for example, a pikadon. Let's say, for example, someone's watching my object. And somehow, some way, I did something that creates a chiyuv misa. So now you're going to say, no, I don't have to give you back the pikadon because kim levi d'ramine. Well, that's not true. Kim levi d'ramine is when bezdin's mechayiv you to do X, and bezdin's mechayiv you to do something else. So bezdin, but pikadon, why do you have to give me back the pikadon? That it's not because the Torah says so. That's because what we call memayni gabach. You have my object, give it back to me. It's not a chiyuv tashlumin in what we call in the classical idea of a chiyuv tashlumin. It's a practical, logical thing. You have my thing, give it back to me.
Car, like if you were watching somebody's car and right. You killed somebody.
Right. So you're not going to say, well, I'm potter now because kim levi d'ramine. What are you talking about? This is not a chiyuv mamonis. The din of kim levi d'ramine is that bezdin or the Torah will not make you pay a chiyuv mamonis on top of a chiyuv misa. But this is not a chiyuv mamonis. This is just give back what someone else is. So someone asked me last week about Geneva. So my amaratzah shined through very clearly last week. There's a halach on Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins, that the only time you say kim levi d'ramine by Geneva is when the chayfet is not be'en. If the chayvitz is not be'en, not around. Let's say I steal a chayvitz. And while I steal the chayvitz, I'm over in Isser. But the chayvitz is sitting in my hands. There's no kim levi d'ramine. You know why? Because you have someone else's object. That's not a tashlumin. When I'm heishiv esagzela, I'm not doing a... It's not the pshat that Torah made me pay back the stolen object. That's common sense. That's logic. You have someone else's object, give it back to him. So when is a kim levi d'ramine by Gneva? When you stole the guy's object and you broke it and you smashed it. So now you can't give back the actual object. So now the Torah said, when you can't give back the actual object, we make you pay the value of the object. That's a chiyuv tashlumin from the Torah. A chiyuv tashlumin from the Torah, that's when kim levi d'ramine kicks in. This is the background to Rabbi Baruch Ber.
I think none of us knew that either.
And I just, I afterwards, I appreciate it. I know. I figured that was a shot. I figured everyone wanted to do that. But that's the halacha Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Mechaber Paskin is based on the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's
Kavadik.
It's
just in theory with this now, because this seems like...
So now we have a better understanding of what Reb Chaim was coming from. Now we understand, we have to break down every chi of mominus and understand, is it a chi of mominus me'es ha-toyro, or is it just a practical idea that the logic dictates, you give me back that is mine?
So just one more time. So if you steal something, the rule that you have to pay it back,
Return it or pay back?
Return it with the extra.
Right, well,
only applies if the object cannot be returned as in the same condition it was in when you took it.
No. What I mean to say is the din of kim levi d'ramine when a person steals.
No, normally
the Torah says v'heishiv esagzela shegozel. Give back the actual object.
And period.
And then we're done. Right. That's the end. You fixed your mistake.
Okay.
But then the Torah said something else. Though the Mishnah say that if you can't.
That only applies if
it's
the
not
object
here.
Is no longer capable of
correct.
Being returned.
Correct. So what happens now in Lomdus? What happens now in Lomdus is now a new chiyuv kicks in. The Heshev Zegzela is not a Lomdus chiyuv. Heshev Zegzela is practical. Give me back what's mine. Then the Torah says, well, if you don't do that, then I'm going to make a chiyuv tashlumin on your head. So therefore, says Reb Chaim, one second. Said, this is what Reb Baruch Ber is asking Reb Chaim. How do you look at Nen? What type of chiyuv is Hanah? Is a chiyuv Hanah something that the Torah instructed us to make you pay? Or that's something that's also like logical? Like, you took my thing, give me back my thing. You took my Hanah, give me back my Hanah. So therefore, that was the shoyl, that was the Baruch Ber's question to Reb Chaim. How do you understand something like nehneh?
Nehneh is you don't suffer just to
benefit.
Yeah. Right, so the pshat, I think what Reb Baruch Ber assumed was the pshat is, you have my hanah, give me back my hanah. Just like you have my object, give me back my object.
I didn't lose anything because you got it.
Again, it's not a question of losing, it's a question of you have my thing. You have my hanah, you took hanah from me, now give it back.
Not your hanah.
It is, it belongs to me. It's my
You got hanah. You didn't take it from me. I can still get hanah from
it. Are you talking about?
Well, now you can't. Now it's gone, right? You ate up my sandwich.
Are you returning it intangible?
So the point is that you're obviously going to return it with money because there's no way to return hanah in any other version. But the lumpness of the chiyuv is not like the meaning. What would happen without a Torah?
Without a Torah, the fact that it's not so obvious.
Right, it's not obvious. That's what was
the fact that it's not a tangible. I mean, you can't compare the two. Right?
What would happen if there was no Torah? Would you think you have to pay for getting pleasure? So Baruch Hu thinks yes. It's partial to him, you would.
If you used my object,
which I did. I ate your truma without permission, and now I don't have to buy lunch. So Reb Chaim, Reb Baruch Hu understood.
Because I know, it's consumed.
Right.
But again, two kinds of hanah. What if I'm getting hanah from smelling your trees? Is that hanah? It's your trees. I don't have permission to smell your trees. But I can't help it. I'm in my backyard and it's your...
That's a separate sukkah of Zenanav is Alechas, 100%. But I think what Baruch Hu was getting at over here was he was trying to understand that hanah, the lumness of the chi of hanah is what we'll see in a second, is like a halva. Let's say, for example, a person borrows money from someone. So now the loiva has the mava's money in his hand. And then it's going to be a question of kimli. We'll see in a second what the case is. Would anyone say, kimli, you don't have to pay back the loan? Of course not, right? Because the sibas achiv tashlumin over there is not because you owe me money, it's because you have my thing. So that's where I think where Baruch Hu was coming from. Baruch Hu understood that hanah works the same way. It's like you took my thing, now give me back my thing. And then we don't say kimli.
But maybe it only applies if there's a chaser element to it.
It could be.
Because all the examples are given, there's a chaser element.
It could be. I'm willing to say that. Okay. So what was Baruch Hu answer? So what was Reb Chaim answer him? So Reb Chaim answered him, not true. So let's read it again. So what happened? You have to give me back the actual object. The din the money gabachu. Give me back what you took. It's not the pshat you're paying the actual object. It's a give me back that hanah. Give me back the actual thing. You have my hanah, give it back to me. You have my object, give me back the object. I don't want the value of it. I want the actual thing. And whenever you talk about the actual thing, there's no kimle. So what did Reb Chaim answer? The Heshev Agrach, the Akoponim, have a milva ksuva b'teiru. Reb Chaim answered back to milva ksuva b'teiru. So what did Reb Chaim mean? Reb Chaim meant is at the end of the day, the Sibas Achiev of Nene is described by us in the Torah. The Torah said you have to pay for Hanah. So then if the Torah says you have to do it, then it's like any other Chiev Imamis that we say Kimle Jamine Ban. It's not this Lumdish version of Kimle that the Pshad is that it's, the reason why you have to pay me for the Hanah is because you have my object. No. Maybe without the Torah, I wouldn't have to give you a dime for benefiting from you. The Torah kicked in and said, no, there's such a thing called Nene. So now it's like any other chiyuv that the Torah implied. Whenever the Torah gives it a chiyuv, you have to commit
it. Where did the Torah say that again?
That's the problem. It doesn't exactly say it openly somewhere that there's a chiyuv Nene. But that's seemingly where Reb Chaim's answer is. Now, based on this yisoid, what happens in the case of a loan? What's the case of a loan? Look in the Ktzos number 4. The Ktzos quotes a Gemara in Bav Metzia. B'shtar sheyesh b'ribis. Let's say I write up a document. I'm going to borrow, I'm going to lend with ribbis. I don't listen to the Torah, I don't care about the Torah. I'm going full-fledged star, Issa ribbis. So the Gemara is a machloikis tanoyim, can I even collect the keren? Right? I borrowed from you $100, and I said I'm going to pay back $150. That's an Issa deraisa of ribbis. So the question is, when I come to collect the chayv, do I even get the $100 back? Or even that I don't have to pay? Which is really an amazing deal, right?
Why should you lose out the keren?
Oh, so let's see. So the Gemara says, the Savach Meir, the Meir says you can't collect anything. Shtar sheish beribis, the ganze shtar is possible. You throw the whole thing out, you don't get anything. The whole shtar is thrown out of court, so you got nothing. You don't get the keren, you don't get the ribis. The chachamim sarvi de goyve keren. The chachamim say, no, you have a right to collect the keren. The $100 of the loan, that's kosher. The extra 50 of the ribis, that you can collect because that's ribis and that's not affected by the shtar. Meaning, I wrote a shtar that says I'm going to pay you $150 for a $100 loan. So that's not allowed. That's against the Torah. So it says the Chachamim, you'll pay the $100 and the 50. You don't pay because that's ribbis. It says the Tzais.
So who's it not allowed on? It's not allowed on the
we'll come back to that in a second.
Good.
We'll talk. Who's the Issa ribbis or the Leiva, the Mavo? We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, we'll get to why it's negay in a second. Says the Tzais, v'hochi kaimelon kechamim. We passing like the Chachamim. Very good. So Zok Tzais, if a guy writes in a shtar, I want to lend you $100, I'll pay you back $150. So the shtar only gives you the right to collect $100. No problems. Frek Tzais, you gaval like a kasha. Unbelievable. Vayin Torah Shulchan Aruch Simin Shnun Beisef Aleph. Frek Tzais, v'inemu dechayvei malka shoygim p'tur milashalim. If it's true that when a person does a lav accidentally, he still has kim lebed rabbi mineh. If that's true, which is machloikis as we learned, says the Tzais, imkein hechi gayve hakeren. How can you even make the loyva pay the keren? He has akasha. fact, what happened? The loiva is over alav. He borrowed the ribbis. So he's over alav. So why does he have to even pay the keren? Now, what's everyone thinking in the back of their minds?
He didn't borrow the ribbis. He offered to pay it.
No, I'm saying he did a halva in ribbis. So fractic tzah.
He could just simply not then collect ribbis.
No, ribbis is not allowed in the tabase.
Why? If you don't collect the ribbis, or if you return the
No, ribbis, you're still over. It's not like Zayla. It's not like Zayla the Heshiv. No, but let's get the Tzayis Kasha. The Tzayis Kasha. Okay, good. Okay, we're going to get to the Teretz. We don't know what point we're holding at yet. Okay, good. We'll get to that. That's one of the Teretzim.
We split a store to say part is allowed.
Karen is not allowed.
No, but that's the point. The Tzai says that the Chaman Paske, that you use this shtar and you have to pay the Karen. You borrowed 100, you promised to give 150, so you have to pay 100. In fact, it says I don't have to give the guy a dime. Because I'm going to get Malkus now, or Chayvi Malkus, for what I did, for agreeing to borrow the ribbis. Good. So we'll have to see. When does the law kick in? At what time? When you write the shtar, when you collect on the shtar.
We'll see. Well, the example, when you say that the lova is the borrower, right?
Mm-hmm.
He signed the shtar and said, I'll agree to give you an extra 50.
Right.
Did he do that because the malva said, I'm only going to lend it to you if you give
and
me the
It doesn't
50,
matter.
It wouldn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Halachically, it doesn't matter. Either way, if I agree to ribbis, I'm over a lav. So, effective choice, Kim Levy Ramene.
Isn't the ribbis just the extra 50?
That is the ribbis, but I'm getting malchus for what I did.
Why is not the malchus? Why are you getting malchus for the karen?
No. The kash is that the malchus should pata the karen because kim lebed rabbi mene. I can't get malchus and pay. So.
And what's the malchus?
Why is kim lebed?
The ribbis.
Yeah. How does kim lebed come in?
So what's the kash on the tzais? The kash on the tzais is, what are you talking about? That karen that you owe the guy is not a din in Beis Din passing you owe the guy the money. It's your money.
Right.
You took my $50 and it's in your pocket. That's my money. That's Reb Chaim's kasha about Hanah. Frech the achwarim on the tzayis. What are you talking about? That's kimle v'derabimne. It's like saying I have your pekadin and I'm watching it, and then for some reason I have a chiv malchus. Also, I don't have to give you back your pekadin. Din of kimle v'derabimne is only when Beis Din says you have to pay someone money. And then Bezin says, well, you don't have to pay him the money if you're also getting Malkus. But here I'm not paying the guy the money.
And who's getting the Malkus?
The loiva.
The loiva.
They're both will. But the cash is the loiva can claim. The Tzais Mamish has a cash. The loiva should be exempt from paying back the carrion because he's getting Malkus. And because he's getting Malkus, we should take him live.
So
he's
asking the kasha really, or is he trying to make a
point? No. He really thinks it's a stack of kasha. Okay, so it's a pelvic twice.
According to him, let's say you stole something,
right?
And you're supposed to pay back KFO. You decided, you know what? I want to be such a nice guy. I'm not going to pay you KFO. I'll pay you, let's say, dollar for hay, even though, or whatever.
Right.
I'll pay you much more than that.
Right.
So why didn't he say the same thing? In other words, in such a case, you could also say, Kim Le Mitarabha Mine, and I should be Potter. I mean, I don't understand.
No. According to the choice, one second. According to the choice, if it would be the equivalent of a guy who stole. He's holding on to the chavitz in his hand.
Right.
And the Torah says, you know, we're going to give you Malkus for stealing. Right. And the guy says, okay, so I'm not giving you back your object.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He would laugh at the guy. He would say, what are you talking
right,
about?
That's what I'm
you
got
to give him back. That's exactly the kash on the choice, right? That's
it. No, but he's saying it out to halva.
Because he's talking about a case of halva.
Right,
that's
but
what's going
even
on.
In case of stealing.
It's the same. Well, we'll see. We'll see in a second if they're the same.
When does the Malkus happen? When
oh,
you pay
good,
it,
good.
Or you agree to pay
good.
It?
That's the terrace.
If you didn't pay it yet.
Good. Very good. That's an answer. We'll see. Okay, we're holding in the kasha stage first.
Wait, so would Robin Mayer come on to Kimle? Because
according to him, it's not relevant because you can't.
There is no carrot.
Exactly, so it's not relevant.
But
so there will be Malkus. You'll get your Malkus, but you're not paying anyways.
That's where he's coming. Maybe
well, it's not Kimla. No, it's not coming from Kimla. It's coming from different different halacha. So according to Rabbi Huda,
also one second, I'm trying to understand this. Kimla Mitarabim.
This was supposed to be the easy part of this, guys. Okay, yeah. We're gonna get back to it.
Kick in. Do it afterwards, or it has to be done
after. No, that's a set. Here we're talking about when it's already no iska possible over here. Whatever the case may be,
okay.
It's real ribbis.
In general, whenever you say Kim Lehman or Rabin, right? When you get the more extensive chiv, you don't get the less one.
Right.
Okay? So then, are you then saying that every time that there's a mominus, you can never get you get malchus, you never get mominus, or vice versa?
No, we're trying to understand what's the gedder of a chiv mominus that is exempt by Kimle. Is it any time there's a financial obligation, or when the financial obligation comes from the Torah as a chiv tashlumin, as opposed to a financial obligation which is self-imposed or self-understood?
Self-evident.
Right.
One second, Kim Lehman Rabin. I go ahead, I kill you. I damage your shirt, I'm put on the shirt.
Right.
How does this work by mominus? Kim Lehman Rabin has nothing to do with stealing or borrowing money.
Because stealing has a lav. Borrowing money by ribbis has a lav. Lav also has Kim Lehman.
Right. So and what's the Kim Lehman?
That you don't have to pay back the Karen. I normally owe the malva $50 for borrowing $50.
So
the Kimleisha says, if I get malchus, I don't have to pay, so I don't have to pay you back the $50 I borrowed from you.
Or why don't you say the other way? You pay and you don't get the malchus.
Oh, because we... Because
the keren you owe.
That, so, again, that's mamish the kash on the tzais. The kash is the $50 keren that you owe the guy is not a chiv tashlumin from the Torah. It's the pshar that you have yenim sting by you. Right. The moini gabach. So that's not, there's no kimla and something
right,
like that.
Right, it's not a knas.
It's not a chi, well, the way the Achrayim call it, it's not a chi of tashlum from the Torah.
Because Rameh says you don't have to pay it back. So it's right off the bat, it's not
no, no, but that might be a ribbis related issue, right, not necessarily not, because of...
Sort of the kind of Torah concept.
Right. I don't know. But 1 second.
Kimla where you have two onshin?
Oh, exactly. That's exactly the nekuda. This is not an oinish. Paying back a debt that you borrowed is not an oinish. But giving back a bekadon is not an oinish. These are called giving back what belongs to yenim. Meaning, without the Torah, these things would also exist. Right? In the secular world, they also exist. You borrow money, you got to give back the money. Why? Because the Torah says so. No, because that's pashat. You have yenim's thing in your rishus, you have to give it back. Like exactly like a neighbor, right? Exactly. Yes, Seth.
How come we don't say that's far?
Nope, we lost him. Now the truth is, Rabbi say, is it so poshut what we're saying in the Ktzais? We might be wrong based on the Gemara that we learned.
I didn't think there was anything
poshut. I don't know how many years ago. Huh? 1 second, Seth, you got it? Maybe he knows the Gemara. What?
Why wouldn't you? Yeah. Why wouldn't you say that Svara by Mazik? Why is Mazik more of an onus than paying back a loan?
I think the pshat is because by a loan it's memoni gabach. I have your money. By mazik, I don't have your money. I destroyed your money. So now the Torah says that when you destroy someone's money, you have to place it.
No, but if it's a lien without the Torah, I know I'd have to pay back. So I think you say the same thing by mazik.
I'm not so sure if that's true. Could be the Torah would say that when you take someone's object, you have to give it back. Now that you smashed it, you destroyed it, so it's gone.
Punish him some
other way. Maybe there is no such musik of tashlum in bavur achefetz without a Torah. So what's the kash on what we're saying now? We're asking a kash on the Ktzais. We're saying, what's the Ktzais talking about? How can you tie the Kimle B'Dramine on the Keren? The Keren is money gabach. Now, Rabbi say, if you remember, we had a sugya in Kedushin many, many years ago. We had a concept called Milva Lohitsa Nidna. When I lend you money, what happens to the money? So one pshat is, I lend you the money, so it's your $50 sits in my pocket forever and ever. Tamam is your money sitting in my pocket. Milva Lohitsa Nidna means, no, your $50 you gave to me. It's gone, finished. Now I owe you another $50. A different $50, which means it's a chi of tashlum in ba'avur what took place. That means it's not the pshat that I'm holding on to your $50 and I'm going to return your $50 and I just used it for, you know, like the bank, right? The bank uses your money to make investments. The pshat is, no, I gave you the money. Now you in return have a new chi of to pay me back the money.
So the,
well, what? That's correct. That's right. So that's where some machrenim want to draw a distinction. Maybe by halva, if you hold milvoloid son nitna, so then it's not the pshat memoini gabach. It's not like I'm holding on to your $50 and I'm giving you back your $50. The pshat is you lent me $50. Now I have a chiyuv to give you back a new $50. That's a chiyuv tashlumin. Now you can argue and say, well, I mean, that chiyuv tashlumin is logical. Maybe it is logical. But that chiyuv tashlumin is not the same thing as giving back that is you're holding on to.
Not
the same chetz, right.
It is the same.
What?
All money is the same.
I mean,
money is money.
As opposed to
a, as opposed to like a case of a bikadon where it's mamish money gabach. You're holding on to my thing and you're giving me back, you know, that is yours. Okay, that's a side point. Now, if you remember, we had a gemara in Bar Metzia. Not so long ago. Very important gemara. The gemara said in Bar Metzia number 5. The gemara said, Osnan osra teira filu baal imoy. Everyone remembers that Gemara. The Gemara says, these types of Gemaras you don't forget, right? Yeah. The Gemara says in Bamatzia Dav Tzadi Aleph that if a child paid for znos by his mother and he gave her a carbon, an osnan, so the halach is that osnan is also to be on the carbon on the, in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? So the kasha that the Gemara had was, why? It's Kimle B'Dramine. He doesn't owe his mother a dime because since he is going to get misa for living with his mother, he doesn't owe his mother the money. He doesn't owe his mother the money. So why is that animal considered treif? So we had a Rashi. That Rashi said that you see from this Gemara that this is what's called the Chiv Lotz Yisidei Shemayim. That even when there's such a thing called Kim Levi Ramine, and of course this boy will not have to pay his mother the Osnan, but he'll have a Chiv Klapei Shemayim to pay up that money, and that's good enough to make it that this animal is considered a apostle for carbon. But if you remember when we learned that Gemara, we said not all Rishonim learn that way. One Rishon who does not learn that way is the Me'iri number 6. Says the Me'iri, he quotes from the Chachmi HaTzarfasim. Where's Tzarfas? France. Okay, that's where most of the Rishonim lived. At least the Baal HaTosfos lived in France, either France or Germany at that time. That's where the bulk of the Baal HaTosfos lived. So he writes like this. V'chach me'atz arfosin pirushu af b'dini adam. No. Says the Me'iri, the Rishonim, at least the French Rishonim held, that there is no kimlei at all. There is no chi of mominis to your mother when it's a case of esnan. V'daitom, and what's the svara? It has to be something like nezikim. That's what we make it up. A chi of mamonis that I self-imposed upon myself in an agreement with you. Does anyone make this boy pay his mother an esna? No. He decided that he wants to have znos, and znos has a price. So they agreed on a price called the esna. Says the Me'iri, whenever it's agreed upon by two parties, the Chiyuv Mamonis, that Chiyuv Mamonis is not subjected to Kim Lebed Ramini. Whenever two parties agree upon a Chiyuv Mamonis, then there's no Din Kim Lebed Ramini. Like a case of Halva.
So, right?
So this Me'iri, right, would sound like that when you have a case of a loan, I agree to pay you $50, you agree to lend me $50.
No, but
why is that different?
Because what you agree to pay extra is usur.
No, but again, so what we're talking about the Karen. We're usur. Talking on the Karen. I agree to pay you $50. I agreed to loan you $50 in return for another $50. So that other $50 is off the, because you're not allowed to do it. But the original chayiv that I incurred was we agreed on. Says the Me'iri, whenever we agree on the chi of mamonis, that's not kimle. Kimle is when the Torah enforces the chi of mamonis.
So according to Me'iri, by the case of Esnan, that it's taka, he'd be mechayiv.
That's right.
Therefore, you couldn't give the
Gemara. That's pshat in the Gemara. That's what he's trying to say. Zog to Me'iri, that's pshat in the Gemara. Esnan knows the Torah. You know why? Because this doesn't have kimle. There's no kimle in the case of Esnan. Why? Because it was a self-agreed upon obligation. However, says the Me'iri, when is there kimle? It only works kimle when it's something that comes from the Torah. But if it's something that's agreed upon by both sides, like that l'chay would answer the kash of the k'tzais. What was the k'tzais's kash? The case of a loan, why don't I say kimle on the Karen? So we said because that's not the way kimle d'ramini works. But according to this Me'iri, it's even more than that. It's not just that's not the way kimle d'ramini works. It's because kimle is only when it's obligated. It might be the same pshat. It's only obligations that come from the Torah. Self-imposed obligations that are not subjected to kimle.
But basically saying then the mother could enforce the son and can collect that carbon from
that animal. According to Rashi, the mother can't take her son to Bez and say, pay me up. Because it's kimle d'ramini. But according to the Me'iri, no. The mother is 100% right. There is no kimle in this case. Why is there no kimle? Because kimle only exists when it's a punishment from bed. Now, what's the pshat in the Me'iri? What's the lumdus?
Even though you didn't agree, but the Torah says you have to do it.
Exactly, because by gneva, right, I didn't agree. You know, I didn't make up with you that I'm going to pay you back the stolen object. That is a Torah-imposed obligation. Now, why does this make so much sense? Because where's kimle b'dramini learned from? Kedei rishasai, risha. That's when the Torah is punishing you. The Torah is giving you an einish. This is not an einish. This is a self-imposed einish. It's not an einish. That's an agreement. That's a business deal. We agree that you'll give me this and I'll give you that. Mashen came with the Torah says, well, I broke your window. Now the Torah says I have to pay. I didn't sign up for that.
So then
I didn't sign up for that.
Necessarily need to be, enforceable by Beis Din. It should be, if it's imposed by the Torah.
Right. That is the point. Not. It's again, Beis Din will sometimes force you to do things that are logical also. And if I don't pay you back, Beis Din will also get involved. Because I have a mitzvah to pay you back. But again, the point is not that Bezin's involved. The point is the chiyuv doesn't come from the Torah. The chiyuv is a self-imposed chiyuv. Me and you decided to obligate ourselves. And then the Torah said, when two people obligate each other, they have to follow X and Y rule. But the root of the chiyuv was an agreement by the two of us. When I break your window, I never signed up to pay you
$50. But what you just said also makes a distinction between the example with the Esnan and Ribbis. Because two people agreed.
Yeah.
Except it was something that could not be fulfilled according to the Torah, because the Torah said it's usur.
Right. But the Karen is okay. That $50 original loan, that's not a problem. Right. Whatever.
Well, maybe it is when
they devalue the money.
That's the point. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can't say that they're the same example.
Why? I agreed to pay.
Maybe you the Torah said once you agree to pay ribbis, which is a violation.
But the Chum don't hold that way. The Chum hold that when you have a loan, you have shtar, that says shtar with ribbis, so you X out the ribbis in the regular part, you have to pay. We're going in the Chacham Mishita. The Chum hold that in that case, you pay the regular $100 that you borrowed. Tzoris's kash was, you should say Kimle. We're saying now, according to this Me'iri, there's no Kimle on that money. That money was an agreed upon chayv.
Maybe you can also say that the Malveh loses his right to collect even the Karen by having agreed to the ribbon.
Again,
the first
that might be the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But we're going in Remeir. But we're going in the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you could collect the Karen.
One second, okay. Rabbi, I understand why we don't just say like what Jay alluded to. I think he was alluding to earlier that the Chi of Mammon was at the time of the Havor.
I'm going to get to that right now. Number seven.
Oh.
Look at that. Perfect. So if you look over there in the Magia and the Ktzois, on the footnote of the Ktzois, he's trying to answer, again, the Ktzois had a kasha. The Ktzois wanted to know why is little Kim Lebe Diramin in a case of alone beribis. So our eyes popped out when we read this Ktzois because we said, what are you talking about? That's Mamish Memoini Gabach. So the Meiri is even better because according to the Meiri, it's for sure no Kim Lebed Ramene, because Kim Lebed Ramene is only when it's a self-imposed, when it's not a self-imposed chiv. Comes along the Magia on the Ketzos, he comes over to another terrace. This is the terrace that everyone was mechavin to. He writes, V'etzarech loimar bozeh kimoish yikosev ha-ketzos al-pishitas ha-maral, maral chaviv, shehev yamish nalamelech peregdal memilva shikosev. Dehaloive eine oive beloisase b'shas halvo. When is the loive oive the Issa Ribbis? So he's not over at the Shas Halva when he borrows the money. Ela b'shas nesinus haribis at the time when the ribis is exchanged. Who the over below sashich? He's not over when they make up an agreement to pay. When we agree, okay, so you're going to lend me $50 and I'm going to pay you back 50 and another 50, 100 and 100, whatever. That's not the time when you're over the ribis. But that's when what? That's when the chiv mamana starts.
Yeah, but principal had to pay first or part of
it was obligated. It was obligated.
You pay 50 of this 150. We're going to consider that to be principal because we're not going to accept it as being ribbis.
Well, it wasn't ribbis.
Okay. Right. So it's when you gave the 150. Now you're over the lot, correct? But now the chiyuv on the principal is gone because the money's been paid back.
What? One second. I lost you. One second. There's two times when you can be chai for ribbis. Either at the time of the actual loan.
All right. But we're saying it's not.
He's saying it's not. It's the time of the payment.
Time of payment. When you take $150 from me.
So I'm not going to give you the $150 because the Torah doesn't let me. So I'm going to give you the $50.
And so you're not.
The $100.
So how are you chayav on the ribbis now?
You're not chayav on the ribbis.
Right. So where's the kibbutz?
The halva was earlier.
I thought it was the lav.
The lav was earlier.
I thought we said the lav in this. Was holding the, in this. We just said we're going to hold it. The lav doesn't occur until the ribbis is paid.
Not to pay. When you have to pay the money. When it's time to pay up the money.
You mean the due date.
The due date, right.
Whether you pay it or not.
Right. So the chiyuv moment is started when you wrote the shtar.
Not when you pay it, when the due date.
Right. That's what he writes. The ene oivus ulufiza nicha, the bishas chiyuv hamomen, the hainu bishas halva. So when's the chiyuv momenis? The chiyuv momenis is the time of the halva, and halva the cloud, bis and malchus. Okay, so it's not be'idna. It doesn't happen. This is what everyone was thinking.
If it was a 12 month payout, payment includes the ribbon.
Right, again, and you wouldn't be able to structure that. You wouldn't be able to structure it that way. Right? We're talking about a simple case where it's structured that way. Okay, this was really just from last week's to clarify, to understand in our mind, when we do say Kimle, when we don't say Kimle, what about halva? This is very difficult.
So if you have a loan that's 150 and the due date comes, and you, 3 weeks later, just paying back the 100, you're still over for ribbis.
So according to this, you would have been over for the ribbis earlier.
On the due date.
You were over. Never paid it.
Right, I don't know.
What if you just gave him the 100 on the due date? And said, you know what? I realize it was wrong of me to do it. I'm not paying.
Can b'shas halva? That's when. Again, he's saying like this. Lefiz anich the b'shas achiyav hamamin. When do you owe the money? Tehainu b'shas halva. That's at the time when you borrow the money.
Even though the due date's
not for another.
Even though it's due date for the principal.
Right.
If you just borrowed $100 and you owe it for a year,
you owe it. Right. I mean, so you owe the money now. The issur starts now, and the chiyav hamamin doesn't start till later.
Also, it's when you write the shas.
It's not clear. It's something along those.
That's fine because then you have the obligation and the.
That's right.
At the same time, and then you have.
Then you have.
Do I owe something that I'm not allowed to pay?
Can the Karen? You're still.
No, I'm not talking about the Karen. I'm talking about.
No, you don't owe the ribbis. Now the question is, but by writing up such a document, you are even innocent. By structuring such a document that you're going to do it right then and there, you are over the laugh.
If you collect the ribbis,
again, I definitely don't want to get.
Who says you're over the laugh?
Go ahead.
Just says loisashach. Doesn't say when.
No. What does that mean precisely?
Don't charge ribbis. So again, you charged it.
Again, yeah, but we have another example.
Usually not.
You know,
right? Usually not.
There's no Isser in charging it. The Isser is in paying it and collecting
it. No, structuring a lav, structuring a shtar with Isser Ribbis is also.
Where do we know that?
That's what we're saying. That's when the Isser is that's telling the Shaila.
In fact, the Sofer might be.
That's right. The Sofer might be Chayav, the Gemara says. Right? Very good.
So just a crazy example, and then I'll stop. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If somebody hires me to go steal something from somebody else, or somebody hires me to kill somebody, right? That happens all the time.
And
we write an agreement, right? Am I chayav then, or am I chayav when it gets done?
No, because that's a different type of chayav. The chiyuv is for killing someone. Here, the chiyuv is for writing up a document that's going to. It's for
charging ribbis.
Right, charging ribbis means writing a document that says I'm charging you ribbis. They're charging, not paying. Again, I don't want to learn ezu neshach, even though that's probably a great limud here. But in any case, okay, let's go right there. Let's move on. I didn't say it's an easy limud. I said it's geshmak limud. Okay, yeah.
Here we're back here.
No, he's just showing. No, this example doesn't have it. He's just proving to you that whenever you say Kimle, it only works when it's a not a self-imposed Kimle. He's just talking about whenever we say Kimle Rambam. We say Kimle Rambam in two places. We say by Misa and Mammon and Malkus Mammon. He's just giving you the two examples. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what happened over here. So the Gemara says, Soif, Kimle Delasi, Kanye, affect the Gemara, but he chewed. And since he chewed, Mishchai ben Avshel Aviad the Bolo. So we had a lot about this Gemara. The Gemara told us that since he chewed the food, that's either some form of Gneva, Hezek, or whatever, and therefore it's not going to be bitten, no? So the Gemara says, no, you can write your Toch of Lolo Tech basically. The Gemara says, no, he stuck it straight down his throat. There was no chewing involved. So what do we accomplish? That means the Hano is at the throat. That's when the Chi of Misa comes. Boom, everything's Boim Keechad. It's beautiful Kimna Dramini. Frak the Gemara, not so fast. Frak the Gemara, one second. Hechidami. If the guy can spit it back out. I apologize for the graphicness over here. But if he can spit it back out, right, the guy stuffs it down his throat, and then now you're on your own. So now if the guy can cough it out, so he should have to spit it out. And therefore what?
Well, when's that no?
That knows when it goes down the throat. So Frank the Gemara.
But he still got that no. He gave it back to him.
No. He didn't get that no until it goes down. It didn't go down yet. But yeah, so the Gemara said, we'll see in a second what the Gemara's cheshbon over is that he has to spit
now
out.
It exists.
And therefore what?
So you don't have the payment problem because it exists.
So then you're a Goslin.
So you're a Goslin maybe. Okay, we'll see. Now here's the next line of the Gemara. E deloy motzi la dure, and if you can't get it back out, it's so far down the guy's throat. In fact, the Gemara, my chayif. Why should he be chayif?
It's an onus.
What do you want the guy to do? Now, am I chayif what? Am I chayif mammon or am I chayif misa?
When you say it's onus as a result.
But if a guy stuck it down my throat, am I going to be chayif misa?
But why is that nana in general? If someone sticks something down your throat, why is that nana in general?
Because eventually it's going to go down and you're going to be full, right? The way it got there wasn't enjoyable. At the end of the day, it's going to go down, and now you're full. So let's see Rashi. Back to number two. Zak Rashi. You should spit it up. And when you have the ability to take it out of your throat and you don't, at that time, you become a mazik. Mazik. Now you're a mazik. I mean, you're not a ganiv. You're a mazik.
The guy
who's got it down his throat, he now becomes a mazik. Why? Because he could be up taking it out, and he's choosing not to. That's a conscious decision to be mazik, my thing. So what? And the presumably is that happens before it's in your throat even. And if we're going to be chayv the moment it got into your mouth.
Why can't you say he's being zen at
the thing? Oh, good.
Mazik.
So we'll see in a second. Now here's where Rashi drops a bomb on us, which we're not going to get to this week or next week, but 2 weeks. So to Rashi, the Rishon lav midi ovad. The first guy didn't do anything. And he's scot-free. The first guy. The guy with the stick, he's scot-free. What's going on over here? First of all, two kashas. Dr. Rashi, you should know that the guy who stuck it into his throat, he's not chayv anything. Okay, so kash number one is, why not?
And he took it from somebody.
Yeah,
else.
He walked over to a czar, he picked up his truma, he decided, I'm going to stick it down Reuven's throat. He throws it down Reuven's throat. So Dr. Rashi, you should know the first guy's scot-free. Fawas. Why is he not a ganav? He picked up someone's truma and put it somewhere else.
That's could have spit it out.
Voila?
Because the guy could have spit
doesn't
it
mean
out,
you weren't so a ganav for taking the first guy's truma, right?
And a Kenyan on
that. Right, he didn't do anything.
He picked up the truma. How else did he get into it? So that makes you a ganav. That makes you a ganav, no?
No.
So it makes you have to return it. We said you're only going to get to make a kinyan.
Oh, okay. So presumably, when you pick it up and you lift it, that's a kinyan.
How does that work if you steal something, you're mazik?
Oh, so kasha Reb Kivega is going to have is there's a mufurshi gemara in Baba Kama, the beginning of the 10th parak. The gemara says someone steals something, and then someone else comes and eats it. So the halach is roitzim izegoyve, roitzim izegoyve. You can collect from either of the two parties. So again, Reuven steals your truma, and then he leaves it out on his front lawn, and Shimon comes and eats it. So the Gemara said, you can either collect from Reuven, you can either collect from Shimon. Now we'll have to get to Blin Ed in 2 weeks, leave everyone on the edge of their seats. What sibas achiv does the second guy have? Again, says in the Gemara in Baba Kama, Reuven steals something, Shimon comes and eats it. So you can collect from either Reuven, you can collect from Shimon.
Now, did Shimon know about it?
Shimon knew. Shimon's a terrible guy. You're going to give him Chamishi, not Shishi. Okay. Right? He gave enough money to the Shulig.
No, Revi is for the Ganovim.
Okay. Good. So the cash is like this. Here's a Gevaldik Machoikis Psais and Sivis. Is it possible to have two Ganovim in one storyline? Meaning, Reuven's a Ganov, and Shimon's a Ganov, and a Ganov, so there's two Ganovim. Or no, Shimon can't be a Ganov. Because by the time Shimon came along, where did he take it from? He didn't steal from the Baal Bais, he stole it from Reuven. In order to be a Ganav, you got to steal from the original owner. Now I'm stealing it from a secondary.
Do we pass in a Ganav and a Ganav Kotter?
One second. This is not that's going to be part of the question. Okay. So the Tzais holds the second guy's a Mazik, not a Ganav. He holds he can't be a Ganav. The second guy can't be a Ganav. In order to be a Ganav, you have to steal a Ganav Beis Ish. You can't steal from his house. I didn't steal from his house. I stole from Reuven's house. And it's not Reuven's object, it's the other guy's object.
But Reuven wasn't Koni?
So again, even Kinyani Geneva, unless you do something big change, it still belongs to the first guy. You have to make a shino, a significant shino, that's the whole sugiz in Baba Kama. Okay,
maybe that's the mazik point, you change it.
Oh, good. So in this case, you have a case where so that's just the kasha that I don't want to get to this week. What I do want to get to this week is a Rashi. Next Rashi. Says Rashi, if you're not able to bring it up, amai chayiv. So Rashi, amai chayiv misa. The Gemara's kasha is, why are you chayiv misa? Why?
Who's
chayiv? The guy who got the stuff down his throat. Some guy walks over and stuffs the truma down his throat, so the Gemara says he's chayiv misa. So the question is, why is he chayiv misa? The guy stuck it down his throat, he can't spit it out, he's an oinus. We have a rule, oinus rachmana patra. So now the question is like this. So he's oinus on the misa. Would he still have to pay the money?
Yes.
Why? So there's no kimle. If there's no kimle, so you're a mazik, you're a nana, whatever word you want to use. So l'chayra, he should still have to pay the money. Now, doesn't sound right? Now, again, it's not a kasha, because when it comes to mazik, the Gemara says, Adam would loyal him. You're always chai for whatever damage you cause. The question is, this is what Kveg is going to bring up. 1 second. If you hold chai v'misa shoygigin, have kimle. What does that mean? It means you do an act that does not give you the death penalty, because you did it accidental. You have kimle v'drambini. So, Claire Reb Kiva Eger, what happens if I do an act that doesn't get me kimle because of oinus? Would that also exempt me from kimle v'drambini?
No. Meaning, what's the difference between oinus and shogeg? Is that what
he's asking? If kimle means when you get the bigger punishment and swallow it up as a smaller punishment, so by shogeging, I'm not getting the bigger punishment. So, Claire Reb Kiva Eger, so what about over here? The guy's also not getting the punishment because of oinus.
Right? Isn't oinus worse?
Oh. So what's oinus? Worse or better than shogeg?
It depends on how you understand.
Right? So Seth gives the very classical achronish answer. It's tale nechakira. How do you understand oinus? That's the answer, right? It's tale, how do you understand oinus? So let's see.
Isn't that what you said, David?
I mean, even for holding with whom it's that Shimon is the one that's deemed to have stolen.
So Shimon's pot, the Rashi says.
No, I'm saying in the case where he got that dog, in other words, if he had a payback, he still have a time against Reuven, who shoved it in his throat, no?
Yeah, they're probably not going to be mechutan with each other, but
they
probably will. They both know where.
Exactly.
The mazik is the one who put it in his mouth.
No, that guy might be a ganif. Rashi says the first guy.
The guy who swallowed it.
Well, depends. Imotzi l'adure, if you could have spit it back up. So I'm not the mazik, you're the mazik. So now, Eloi motzi l'adure. So let's say you stuck it so far down, I couldn't do anything with it. So Rashi says, oh, I'm not. The guy's an oinus. Maybe he would be. Right? I agree. Okay, and the point of our Gemara is we're talking about who's going to get misa. The only one's going to get the misa is the guy who ate the truma. The guy who ate the truma was the guy who's claiming now oinus. So it says with Kivega number 8. Rashi says, V'idoloimotzi la'aduri amai chayiv misa oinus. So says with Kivega, hainu, the gam la'abayo yechay betashlumen. And therefore, since there's not going to be any misa, because you're an oinus on the achilo, so there's not going to be any kim le'bid ramen. Number 8. Kivan the ena mechayiv misa. So therefore what? If there's no chiv misa, there's no kimle. There's no kimle. You got to pay the money. Right, everyone's in agreement? When the Gemara says, I may chayiv, the Gemara is asking that why are you chayiv misa? You're not going to be chayiv misa because the whole act was an oinus. And if you're not going to be chayiv misa, so there's no misa. If there's no misa, then you have to pay the money.
Right, you have to pay the money if you're an oinus?
Yes, the answer simply says yes, because adam would loilam. A person is obligated for damage that he does in all circumstances. Maybe. We'll see if that's true in a second.
Here, he didn't do it.
Yeah, you have.
The other guy did it.
No, I was nene. I was a nene.
Yeah, you didn't do it, but said.
Again, you don't have to do anything. You have to be nene. Yeah. You can't. The Gemara says,
so then why
did
it?
Because you were nene from Yanim's money.
But
you
why does Hanoah make you
pay?
Muad. Like the example, you were sleeping in the bed.
Yeah, yes, yes. The, right?
You're not.
That's my Machlokes Rishonim. We'll come back to that today in a few minutes. Good, we'll come back to that.
That's a beyond onus. It's a super.
That's what's called Oinus Gomer, which we'll see in a second. So let's see Reb Kiveger. Says Reb Kiveger, V'efshe de Rashi, cost of Kein Lashitase. Says Reb Kiveger, it's very possible that this Rashi is Lashitase. Lashitase to what? Lashitase to a Machlokes Rishonim we spoke about many weeks ago, where is there a Ptur on Chayve Krisus Shagigin? And the Chunyim Ben Akana holds that when there's Chayve Krisus, you say Kim Leib Ramne. What happens if you don't actually get the Misa? Let's say it's a Shagig. Would you still say Kim the Rabbinate? So we said it's Machloikis Rashi Taisvis in Psachim and Machloikis Big Machloikis Rishayim. So it says the Reb Kiveger, very Geshmak. The Davka Chayvi Misa Shoigigim Turin. Rashi held only Chayvi Misa Shoigigim. Only if Bezdin gives the Misa, then if you're a Shoigig, you still say Kimle. Avaloi Chayvi Krisa Shoigigim. Kimashkasim Rashab Psachim. Therefore what? So Rashi said to himself, if Chayvi Misa Shoigigim of Kares doesn't have Kimle, neither will Chayve Oinis of Kares have Kimle. Because that's the same thing. If a Shoigig, where you at least did the action with the wrong intention, there's no Ptorke Kimle. So when you come to an Oinis, where we don't even look at it as if you did the action, there's no way to give you a Kimle.
Rashi said that in Kares, in Shoigig,
no Kimle.
There's no Kimle.
Correct.
And that was against Tosfos.
Correct.
And that was that Tosfos that we had.
With correct. Him. Right.
Tosfos held their wrist.
That's correct. That's right. So
Kim, I'm sorry. Kimle exempts you from the other punishment.
Correct.
Okay. So if you do a bishogeg,
mm-hmm.
right, so you're not chayiv misa,
right,
because you're a bishogeg.
Correct.
Right? But you still were negligent.
Good.
Okay, so you didn't have the intent to do this terrible thing.
Good.
You were negligent. And we still exempt you, right?
Right.
Okay. But by...
Oinus.
No, we don't exempt you. You have,
no, we do, we do, we do.
So there's misos and there's krisos.
No, so it's just by chayiv krisos we don't. In the case of kares, Rashi holds we don't. Because chayiv kares is different than chayiv misa's
present. So we don't say Kimle
Rabbi. Right.
Which means what?
Which means you have to pay.
Which means you have to pay.
And therefore, says Rabbi Kiveger,
that it should also apply to Ones.
Exactly.
And I'm saying
exactly.
Ones and Shogeg are two different things because by Shogeg, you still have to pay because you did something. Right?
Yeah.
But by Ones, you didn't do anything. You just said yourself. You don't even consider the mazik.
So
why would you say...
Very good. That's the exact second side of Rabbi Kiveger. Or D.A. Shloimer said Rabbi Kiveger... The af im chayve krisa shoygim peturin. Maybe not, says Rabbi Kiveger. Maybe not. Maybe even if Rashi were to hold that normally chayve krisa shoygim don't have kimle, right? Mikol mokim ba'oynis lav din iser misa yeshba. Maybe oynis is different, says Rabbi Kiveger. Why? The oynis min ha'toyra mutter v'loy ova klum. He didn't do anything. Right. The nafkemino says Rabbi Kiveger, I have a very practical nafkemino. Lidi don according to us bechayvi misois im oise ba'oynis v'kara oz shiroi shel chaveroi. Claire Rabbi Kiveger the following shaila: what would happen if a guy was an oynis? He hurt someone in the way of an oynis. He killed someone in the way of an oynis. So there's no way we're giving him the death penalty. Nothing to talk about. He's an oynis, but while doing it, he ripped someone's shirt. So would we say kim lebi derab mine kicks in? And Kim Levi Rabbanei would exempt him, just like Kim Levi Rabbanei exempts a Shoigig. Or do you say no? You say an Oinus is so far removed from the action, it's Kilu, you didn't do the action. If it's Kilu, you didn't do the action, so then we can't say Kim Levi Rabbanei has such an action.
In a case where you had something where that if you did something with Shoigig, you would be Chayav a carbon.
Right.
If it was with an Oinus situation, not a real Shoigig,
you would be.
It wouldn't be Chayav.
Correct. So Reb Kiveger's point is that a Shoigig, you're further removed from the action. So even though when a person doesn't act, by an oinus you're further removed from the action because,
it wasn't your action.
The loy of aklum.
Shogig is it was your will, but it wasn't
correct.
The intent.
Correct.
But oinus is outside.
So what do you think the answer to Rabbi Kiveger's shaila is going to be? Halacha l'maisa. So says Rabbi Chanan number 10. Says Rabbi Chanan that there's a chemda shloima, who says the mahach yafinon the maisa hana. I'm sorry, I skipped number 9 first. So let's go back a step. So what's the Kivega setting us up? Kivega setting us up for the question is, how do you look at a person when he does an act ba'inus? Did he do the act? Just the Torah doesn't obligate him? Or it's Kilo, he didn't do the act. So by Shagig, you did the act, which the Torah didn't exempt you because it was lacking mindset. But ba'inus, you didn't do the act. So if you didn't do the act, there's no question of Kim Levi Duram. But Kim Levi Duram is when you did act one and act two, so we only make you pay one. Even though I'm not getting the Misa, but you at least have to have done both actions. According to Kivega, I didn't do the action. It wasn't me, it was someone else. So says Rabbi Chanan, number 9, HaGoyinu B'Kivega B'Drush V'Chidish Chaka B'Chayvi Mises Anusim Imiftri Mimon. Rabbi Kivega cried the following Shaila. Let's say you have a case of Chayvi Mises Bezdin. Not Karis, Chayvi Mises Bezdin. Right? A guy kills someone mamish accidentally. And while he's doing so, he rips his shirt. Would he be potter from the mumness? So you'll say to yourself, what's the shiloh? Because if I did this exact same act in a shaygig form, I would be potter. Because we hold chavi mises bezdin shaygigim has kimle. So why? Because I'm oinus, is it any different? So the answer in our mind is because what are you talking about? By shaygig, at least you did the crime. So you did the crime. So for some reason, the Torah exempts you when you do the crime from the mumness. But here, I didn't do the crime. You look at it as I didn't do the crime. Now, I did the
so
ripping the shirt. No. But on the mominous, the Torah does look at it if you did, because no Torah is on mominous. So you have to. It's a reverse, right? It's just way backwards way of looking at it, but that's where the Torah is structured.
Because
mominous has special rules. So says Rabbi Chanan, he says over here, Ubeshita. He says, there's a Shita Mekubetz about this topic. Ubeshita kan kosa b'shem Shita, Yishana, Deloy Miftri. There's a Shita Mekubetz that says that if Reuven were to kill Shimon in an act of an oinus, and no bezin in the world can be mechayiv him, no carbon in the world can be mechayiv him, he would not be potter from the mammonis. Which would work out very nicely with Rebbe Kivega. No, that's like Rebbe Kivega wanted to say, right? But Tainer Rebbe Chanan, not so fast. Says Rebbe Chanan, go back 2 steps. Where do you learn that chayivim mitzvah shoygim potters you? So it's a Gemara later on, Daf Lamed Hey, we spoke about it. The Gemara makes a drush. It says in the Chumash, Maka Adam, that means when you kill a person. And it says makke behema when you damage property. So the Gemara made a drasha, ma makke behema, just like when you damage property, like chilkas, it doesn't make a difference, bein shaygig, bein mezid, but you're always chayiv. So too, when a person is going to get killed, it doesn't make a difference, he's always going to be potter. Why is he always going to be potter? Because there's always kim lebe d'ramene, even though he's not actually getting the mis. That was the drasha the Gemara made. So point to that, points out Rabbi Chanan, he says, the Gemara, he says, ubeshita kasov, b'shem shiti yishon adolim yiftu, you're not potter. Why? Dema makke behema chilkas ba bein oinis le'in oinis, because when it comes to makke behema, when it comes to hitting an animal, oinis does make a difference. There is no difference between oinis le'in oinis. You always chayv because adam would lo'ilam. Af makke adam, so too when it comes to makke adam, tach like boy. Points out the shita mugubetzes, you got to apply the drasha to the kid, meaning you should be mechalik between it. Meaning, you want to compare hitting property to hitting a person. And whenever you hit property, you're always chayiv. And whenever a person dies, he's always going to be potter. But that's not so pashut. Why? Because that's the machloikish mishayin. Tosfos holds, Adam Mazik is always chayiv. Always a person who damages will always have to pay for what he does. That's Shitas HaTosfos. Therefore, if a person will always have to pay for what he does, so therefore, what's the flip side of that equation? When you talk about killing, so you're going to say that a person who is chayiv misa, maka Adam, it doesn't make a difference what the storyline is. He's always going to be potter, even when not mechalik, right?
He's always going to be potter in what?
Meaning he's always going to be chayiv. Just like when the Gemara's drush is, just like when you maka behemah, you're always chayiv. So too, when you maka adam, you're always going to be potter because of kimle. That's where the Gemara's drush goes.
Even in a
shogeg. Right. And what about even in an oinus? Because if maka behemah, right, if by maka behemah, I'm always going to be chayiv on mominus, so that applies to Maka Adam. It means even by Maka Adam, I'm always going to be Chayiv, which means I'm always going to have Kimlei, even Ba'oinus. But says, Avaladas, Ramban, Shili, Perikas, Soichas, Omnin. The Gam Oinus, Gomer, Ba'odam, Chayiv. But if you hold like the famous Ramban, that holds there is such a thing called Oinus Gomer, even by Adam Amazik, Vim Kain, Maka Behema, Lechilkas, Ba'bein, Oinus, Lerotzen. So now when it comes to Maka Behema, there is also no distinction between Oinus. There is a distinction between Oinus and Rotzen. So therefore, Av Maka Adam, Loi Tachlik Ba. Elish are going to be Kivega here mitam acher, but Rebbe Kivega came from a different point. Rebbe Kivega wasn't coming off the drush. Rebbe Kivega's argument is that an oinus is not you. You can't have kimle if you didn't do 2 actions. That's Rebbe Kivega's nekuda.
They each have their own side of the chakira. That's how they're learning.
Right, right. Meaning if Kivega is coming from the tzad to say that there would be kimle is because oinus is a pshat that I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't shoot Shimon and rip his shirt. I ripped the shirt without shooting him. I didn't shoot him. Who shot him? I don't know. Not me.
No,
but again, because when it comes to mamas, the Torah holds you accountable for that because of Adam Ward
Lawyer. The other side of the fakir is that it actually happened, but
other way of looking at it is, that's right.
But by way of Drusha,
the Torah passage.
Shogeg was good.
That's right.
One thing. Is it tied to the action or the punishment?
Very good. Now, so where would you look to answer that question?
Argamon.
Case of Shogeg. Because Shogeg, there's no punishment. But what's the argument by Shogeg? But at least he had the action. That's what I want to get to right now. Yeah.
Hold on.
I got to turn the page.
First of all, be machal between onus and onus gomer, number one. And number two,
I don't know.
Maybe our case of shoving down the throat is considered onus gomer. Because even though you could throw it up, maybe it's an onus gomer.
That's not going to change the lumps. The question just is, if it doesn't have to be this case. The point is, if onus gomer exists, then the drusha is going to be off.
Correct. So that's our case. Shoved it down my throat.
This case doesn't have to be an Ernest Gummer. The point is, if there is such a case called Ernest Gummer in the Veltz, then automatically the drush is going to be off. Okay. Whether or not this case has to. This case doesn't have to be Ernest Gummer.
The guy who shoved it down is not Ernest. He's the one who caused the magic. He's the one who caused the thing.
But Rashi said the first guy allowed me to call, but the first guy is scot-free. We got to see why.
He's the one who did it.
I know. We got to see why. We got to see why.
Take it up with Rashi.
Next week. Now, I just want to at least want to start... I just want to start on the next page for a shtickle from Reb Gusman. I just want to make a schala. Reb Gusman is one of my favorite Gedolei Rosh Hashivas. I happen to have a special love for Reb Gusman, not because we learned in the same yeshiva, but his life was a fascinating life. He was a fascinating person. But in any case, his Torah is always...
That's because he didn't smoke.
That's because he didn't smoke. That's true, right? That's not why I find him fascinating. But I find okay. We're short on time, but I will talk much more about Reb Gusman. In any case, let's just start. Let's start his shtickle. He writes like this. Vina Yisoid had in the Kim Levi Ramine on the next page. Number 11. Says of Gusman. This is a shtickle in Bob Metzia. Okay. Vina Yisoid had in the Kim Levi Ramine Harudavka Basachas. It has to happen at the same time. Elush Toli Baze. Im hu bishne maisim, if it's two acts, Oz Nemra Halacha Bechuve Odom, Ubinishne Chiyuvim Yichalukach. Then you have to have that both Chiyuvim start at the same time. Avu Bemaisa Achas, but when you have one act, Halacha hi Bahamaisa. She efshe shemaisa echos tigrum chivmisa begam chiv mamim. Okay, this is Chinese. This for me is right. V'loychein amin kibne drameni afil kishachoyim chalam zayachaze. V'nir bar. This is what I want. The hardy goli kra the chayvi misa shaygim p'tur mitashlum. What's pshat that there's kimle b'shaygim, which is what we're trying to figure out now. Says of Gusman, the hardy goli kra the chayvi misa shaygim p'tur mitashlum. Ain't a mehalocha the kimle b'drameni behachiyuvim. It's not telling about the way that the chiyuvim is what makes kim lebed rabbanei. Most of us think that if I'm chayiv X, then I'm not chayiv Y. Says Reb Gusman, it can't be. Why? The hashoygig part of mechiyuv misa. But hashoygig, you're not getting. You're not chayiv X. You're not chayiv misa. Ule inyin chiyuv misa p'tor shoygig k'may oynis. Ve'ein shum chelik b'neim. Stop right here. This is our sugya. What's Reb Gusman pointing out? If the pshat in kim lebed rabbanei b'shoygig, how does that work? Why is there kim lebed rabbanei b'shoygig? So you're going to tell me why? Because it's not about actual getting misa. Okay, so oinish should be the same thing. Oinish is not getting misa either. Shogeg is not getting misa. Who cares why you're not getting misa?
Yeah, but there's a difference.
Why?
At shogeg, you did the act that if you did it intentionally.
But what creates the chi of kimla? Is it the act that I did or the punishment or the that it carries?
Or the potential punishment that it carries.
So it's because you did an act that carries with it misa, even though you don't get the
good
misa because it was good shogeg.
So what do you say about Oinus then?
My own ask, if you say that it's as if you didn't even do it,
exactly.
There was no act.
That's what I want to bring out. The point is, what Gusman is going to bring out, which Rebbe Chanan really did in a few words. Exactly. I want to break down the act versus the punishment. The Maisa versus the Chiyuv. Is it the Maisa that if I do Maisa X, I'm putter on another Maisa? Or is it that Maisa X creates a Chiyuv, and that chiyuv creates the p'tor for the other chiyuv? Where do you look at it?
By the way it comes out, though, it should be
results.
Backwards, though.
Yeah, it's the wrong result.
Because it's the wrong result, right? Because by shogeg, you did the act, but because you didn't have the requisite intent to get misa, you don't get misa. But because you would have got misa if you had the intent, you don't have to pay the mama, right? That's kim l'rabbanei. Conversely, by ones, if you say you didn't even do the act, it's considered, because it's not only because you didn't do the act, you were kind of impelled to do the act. Somebody else did it, or they pushed you, or whatever
it is.
So there, that's why you don't get misa, because you're literally putter from misa, because you didn't do an act that was subject to
correct.
Mitzvah. But there, you still have to pay the mamma.
Right. It does. Because you have to look at them for
two. No, it makes a lot of lumdish.
Right.
You say onus.
That's right. That's right.
But the result is not fair.
Correct. Right? That's right. It's not a fair system. So that's mamma shorter.
Maybe that hakir depends on kedera shasa or asagia. Kedera shasa seems like it's in the punishment. Asagia seems like what you caused the death.
Could be. It could be. When we spoke about that Gemara later on, that there's two separate Mekoris for Kimlei, we spoke about such possible nafkaminas like that. Yeah, Echanami. That could be. So let's just read what he says. So says Rabbi Gosman, he says it beautifully. He says, Elo halacha b'shoigi hu midin p'tur b'hamaisa. The shoigi need gavra lav bar chiyuva mikom aki maisa haveira hamechayev is yeshkan. You did an act that was wrong. By showing you did the act, you did a bad act. Why am I being a carbon? Because the act was still bad. Now you might have had the purest or lack of guilty intention, but at the end of the day, you did a maisa that is bad. So therefore, one maisa can trigger two chiyuvim. But by the oynis, I didn't do the maisa. They were zaktiv gusman by oynis, but you didn't do the maisa. That maisa was never triggered, and therefore that's why it's not the issue of kamei b'drami.
You can't do the time.
No, not true. That's the chiddush of the Torah. The mood loyal. Okay, Rabbi Sebelin, in 2 weeks we'll get back to this. Next week, Mr. Shem, we'll talk about Hanukkah.
Tuesday night is about nosin tam, which is meaning if let's say you cook
everyone knows it there.
Macaroni in a flay, shikapat, could use it with cheese. And also, Rabbi Sokolov's giving the...